This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and we're going to go out to Minnesota. Oh, it's cold. Hey, Greg in Minnesota, it's like Minnesota here at our place. It is cold.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am good. I'm staying warm in the car, but it is 21 below zero up here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Wow, I thought 4 degrees was bad.
Yeah,
it's bad up here. But I wanted to say, in regards to all of these people who have just been pardoned, how about let's having them be banished from the United States of America for the rest of their lives?
Boy, I'd be all for that.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah. Was it Aaron Burr or was it who's the other guy? One of them was banished. He spent the rest of his life in at sea because none of the other nations would take him. I forgot who it was.
Oh yeah, the man without a country, and I think that was Aaron Burr. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought he got shot by Alexander Hamilton, or did he shoot Hamilton? There was a duel.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you know, I have one more
quick issue, Pastor Ernie. Up here in Minnesota, we've got, a judge just sided with a state senator who was in charge with a felony, a burglary felony, in her mother-in-law's house, and they had it postponed until after the legislative session. How convenient for the Democrats.
Yeah. They've got no morals at all. It's the corruption, so, you know, but go ahead.
Yes, they have absolutely no moral compass. They can really be trusted. Really be trusted with nothing. Please pray for us in Minnesota. We've got to get our state government cleaned out, and we got to get rid of
Tampon Tim.
Yeah, Tampon Tim.
You got it.
Yeah, that guy's.
And one more thing, Pastor Ernie. Sorry for butting in.
Go ahead.
It would be nice if you could be an advisor to Pastor Trump. Pastor Trump, to President Trump. He sounds like a good pastor. He would make a good pastor. Anyways.
Yeah, I think the two of us are on the same wavelength, okay? I would like to hear him give Jesus Christ and call him by name, Jesus Christ, more credit. Now, I have heard him say that Jesus Christ is his Lord, but he really needs to do that actually more, I think.
Bless and magnify Jesus' name.
Yes, because he was given the name that is above every name. And that's why, like in Hollywood, they go, oh, God this, God that, how wonderful. But they don't want to use Jesus' name.
Mm-mm.
And they need to the glory of God the Father.
Well, do you see what's happening in Hollywood? You have all of these old-time, big-time movie stars now are becoming becoming Christians, and they're becoming more and more conservative, and they're supporting us. So Trump is forming a new organization in Hollywood, and he's using people like Sylvester Stallone,
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
John Voight.
John Voight. And I think, what's his name? Clint Eastwood may be a part of that group, too. They're, that to keep filmmaking in America now, back in Hollywood. So that's, you know.
And with content that honors our country.
Yeah.
Instead of attacks it.
Yeah.
And encourages kids and young people to hate us.
So, yeah, pro-American and yes. not
anti-woke.
Yeah, anti-woke, yeah.
Two genders.
So, just, you know, so I think what we're seeing is the American people for a long time have been fed up with this, and all of a sudden they said, and here's, now they have a champion, a leader, and they're saying, you know, let's go for it. A whole lot of people felt like us. And you notice how CNN, their ratings have dropped so low, and now they're being sued again. They've been sued for lying so many times. And so, anyhow.
No moral compass. They have no moral compass.
And when Leslie Stahl and others come out and admit, yeah, it's our own fault, you know, it's our own fault for lying, okay? And then when the CEO of Public Broadcasting comes out and says, yeah, we lied to the people, but we lied to them for a good reason. And sometimes it's a lot easier to get our point across by lying than it is to tell the truth, because it's easier to understand the lies that we tell than it is would be for us to tell the truth. And
yeah,
the lies fit our narrative better. She said that.
The ends justify the means. That's how they feel.
Yeah, we played her. We played the clip of her own words. So
she said that on the air.
Yeah, played it.
Yeah.
Only have one.
It used to be illegal to give for news agencies to give false sources.
It was, but not while Biden's in the office. Remember that?
Wasn't it Obama? Yeah. The Smith-Munson Act or something?
Might not be on anymore.
Oh, we got to work. We got to do something about that.
A quick history lesson. We were talking earlier about Aaron Burr. He was the third vice president, and he is remembered for his famous personal and political conflict with Alexander Hamilton, which ended mortally wounding Hamilton, who died a few days or the following day from those wounds. So,
and Hamilton's considered. I know Burr's got. He was a scandalous guy, but
he was sentenced to be on the ship and stay on the ship for the rest of his life, not be able to touch a shore.
Is that that's what you're talking about? The man with what?
Yeah,
no country?
Man without a country.
Mm-hmm. And Hamilton was like one of the esteemed founding fathers, right?
Yeah. So, all right.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your time, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless, and now let's play that clip.
I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern. And that's the dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. And the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy.
That was President Biden on Wednesday delivering an ominous farewell address from the Oval Office, where he warned that American democracy is under threat from what he called an oligarchy taking shape in the country that puts unprecedented power in the hands of a wealthy few. Our panel is back with a look at the president's speech and his legacy as he prepares to leave office on Monday. So, Kim, why don't you give us your assessment overall of the president's farewell remarks?
The first half were the expected bragging about his accomplishments, and to listen to Joe Biden, he was the best president since FDR. We have the best economy ever. The world is a safer place. People will take this the way they take most of Joe Biden's statement, which is disconnected from reality. But the second half, as you said, was this very ominous warning about this oligarchy. It's the same playbook Democrats have been using for 8 years, that dark forces are a amassing to take away Americans' rights, whether it be Jim Crow 2.0. Now we have this dark oligarchy. It's also disconnected from reality. And it's not the kind of solutions that our Americans are hoping to hear from their elected leaders as they are looking for things to get better.
Bill, the tech industrial complex line, a self-conscious echo of Eisenhower's military industrial complex. Are we facing that kind of threat? And I think it's a clear message about Elon Musk and Donald Trump's
connection. I think that's what Kim's alluding to. Unlike other presidents have given some warnings, but within the context of a very optimistic speech, this showed why Joe Biden was not reelected. And as you said, I took that reference to the tech industrial complex as a swipe at Elon Musk and others and nothing more. And that's Joe Biden. I mean, speechwriters overvalue speeches, you know, over actions. But the truth is, 30 years from now, Joe Biden's going to be a trivial pursuit question about which president served between the two Trump administrations. And I think he's angry at it. I think it came across. But it's no more than what he usually does.
But on the merits, Dan, is there something called a tech industrial complex? I mean, you've got Amazon, you've got the CEO of Amazon, you've got the CEO of Meta, others going down to Mar-a-Lago, and taking $1 million and giving it to the inaugural committee.
Well, they're doing that. But is there a tech industrial complex? My answer would be, yes, there is. And the next question is, do we need it? I would say, absolutely, we need it. Look, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, anyone who watches television sees them shooting rockets up into space, heading towards the moon, potentially. Artificial intelligence, the technology, perhaps the greatest technology of all time. All of these technologies are being developed by our competitors, specifically China. And these are real competitors. North Korea is capable of putting intercontinental ballistic missiles in flight. The Iranians may soon have the same thing. Russia is very capable. We need all the brain power we can get from companies like Google and Meta and SpaceX and so forth. So I think we're going to need these people, not just the billionaires, but as well as the ideas that their companies throw off into new startups that create the sort of resources that we're going to need. Are going to need to compete.
And if these companies break the law, they're subject to the normal limits of the law and congressional and regulatory scrutiny as well. Kim, back to President Biden. There was this kind of an undercurrent of bitterness in that speech I detected. And I think you're seeing it elsewhere show up. Jill Biden, for example, letting everybody know how disappointed she is to Nancy Pelosi for help pushing Joe out of the race. We're getting a lot of recriminations over that episode now, where the Democrats are the ones who told Joe Biden, time to retire, man.
Well, yeah, and there's obviously a great deal of bitterness, too. And there's also this belief, and you heard it in the president's speech, this fear that he's not going to get the recognition that he thinks he is due in his legacy. He made a reference to the fact, well, it might take time before you realize just how amazing I was for you. Look, the thing that's interesting to me about these Democratic recriminations is the real recriminations are, why didn't they ask him to do it sooner? They might have had a better shot at the White House. And the fact is that most of the party was complicit in covering up the decline that he obviously had. This is to be expected to a certain degree after a party has such a huge hit as they did in this election. But none of it's necessarily helpful for a Democratic Party that needs to be focused on their disconnect from the people and how they get a new policy agenda that puts them more in line with that.
Bill, briefly, how do you think historians will view Biden's presidency? Because he was clearly making a pitch to history.
Yeah, but presidents don't get to do that. Your legacy is written by events. And after a certain point, they're outside your control. I think the world's a more dangerous place. Everything seems to have been muddled. Like, for example, the one thing I can think of that I agree with him is aid to Ukraine. But he did it in such a way that he made everything more confusing and the world more dangerous.
All righty, we're back. And now we want to switch over to one of my favorite topic, something that's been so successful from the left, and that's the electrical vehicle mandate. Okay, how, you know, these charging stations that they had for these electrical vehicles, I believe the ones that the government put out cost about $5 million a piece.
Yeah, they only have like 7 of them that they actually completed, and only like 5 of them are operational.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just an amazing
thing. Sounds like a good business plan.
Well, you know, here, now this is interesting too, because, you know, here Trump's good buddy is Elon Musk. And what is, how did he get his big thing was the electrical vehicles, right? And, I mean, he's there. What do you think? Are his electrical vehicles, are they superior to ones put out by GM or Ford? Does anybody know? If anybody knows,
I don't know if they're superior by any means, but I know they're more popular.
Okay. I didn't realize that he made electric trucks too. Okay, like he makes like electrical Hummers. Okay, they definitely look different. Okay, but you know, Musk is a guy that's really, really big on technology. Why would people spend, because they're very, very expensive, why would they spend so much more for one of those than they would, say, a Chevy or, you know, one of the others, Ford or Chrysler?
Because, I mean, isn't the, they look pretty decent as far as the cars go, but you save on gas. That's why. Right.
Yeah, but you still gotta pay the electricity to charge it. You still gotta pay one way or another to.
But isn't it significantly less?
I'm not sure about that, but I think a lot of people probably buy them with the idea of quote unquote going green, saving the planet type thing, not realizing everything that is involved with these to even create these batteries that they need, and the charging of electric vehicles. Like the technology just, it hasn't
caught up yet.
There's a ton
more energy used. In other words, in order to provide the electricity it takes to charge those, whether you get it from coal-fired electrical companies or gas-fired or nuclear, it costs you with the coal. You put much, much more carbon into the atmosphere to charge one of those than you would by using this gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the green hoax.
Yeah.
It's all garbage.
Right. Now, maybe someday there might be technology. Maybe someday, you know, these vehicles will be able to somehow absorb the sunlight or whatever to charge those huge, heavy batteries, okay? But I know that the minerals and things taken in those batteries, it costs a lot. I just don't know what people would be so much willing to pay so much more for one of Musk's cars. What do they call those?
Cybertrucks.
Teslas, yeah.
Yeah, the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a status symbol. I think that's a lot of people are like, hey, look, I could afford this. You know, I mean, it costs way more than an average car. And so the people who are buying them aren't someone who's in need of a vehicle. It's someone who wants another vehicle.
Well, the bottom line is you got to have a choice. If you want to buy a gasoline-powered car, that's our freedom to choose so. Amen?
But that's what
Trump said.
Yeah, well, you know, the United States, you know, someday the technology may be there. It's not there now.
Mm-hmm.
So today, again, what we need to do is it's stupid to do that because, it defeats the entire purpose. It's doing just the opposite of what it was supposed to do now. And I've heard, too, that several of those cars have caught on fire.
Okay? Yeah.
And there's been people killed in some of those cars.
I saw one on the way home from Florida on fire.
On fire? On the side of the road?
A Tesla?
It was a car was the first time I've ever seen a car just in flames.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So it was probably an electric car.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
Yeah. When they burn hot.
It was on fire.
Yeah,
like a forest fire.
Yeah. All right. So, what about ending. Trump said now he's going to end it. All government offices, and especially in the military, all DEI. The FBI last Wednesday closed their offices, their DEI offices. And so that is diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is woke, okay? So they closed all their offices, and so what do you think of that?
I think it's about time. It couldn't have come any sooner. It didn't come soon enough. It would have been. It should have never happened. It took us as a country backwards.
Well, I guess my question is more like, look, the vast majority of all those government offices, especially in D.C., are run by Democrats. Democrats flock to cities, and they flock to government jobs, okay, especially federal. So are they going to be in compliance? I mean, he's going to have to be able to really monitor, go after them to find out, because, you see the there's already a big movement within the Democratic Party to find ways to defy and go against Trump and his mandate. So,
well, one thing we do know about Trump is he doesn't shy away from firing people who aren't doing their job. And with Elon and Department of Government Efficiency, they're going to be looking into all of that. And they're going to be looking into all these people who are still trying to work from home and all the empty buildings and it's going to be a complete cleaning of the house. And that's got to be part of it as well. So I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful that, you know, if they're not complying, that they're going to get fired. They're going to get tossed out.
So all of the federal buildings that the taxpayer is paying for, they're only 40% occupied, meaning it's 60% unoccupied.
Mm-hmm. And they were saying that a lot of the times that the only staff that is actually there are the cleaning crews.
Yeah, they show up like 2 to 3 days a month in some of these agencies. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when we, the people, allow. I mean, we almost lost our country. I wonder how many people really understand that. It was that close.
I think more people understand it than you might expect, because I think that's why we had such a strong turnout in November, that Trump ended up getting the popular vote as well, which doesn't go to Republican candidates. Sorry, but it just never does. It's very, very rare for a Republican candidate to get the popular vote as well as the Electoral College. So I think that's one thing that we saw. The last 4 years have opened up a lot of people's eyes. Let's just hope that they stay awake and continue voting. Anytime that anything is up, anytime, whether it's a spring vote or a fall vote, whatever it is, a primary, we need to be out there voting.
So you believe that it was the issues that people were voting for and not the people? It wasn't just because Biden did so bad in that debate, or
I think it was a combination. I think it was a combination, because the average person looking at their budgets every month and seeing savings, you know, just dwindling, a lot of people tapping into savings because they can't afford to live week to week because inflation's so bad. Your grocery prices are so bad. Gas was so expensive. And then also seeing the Democrat policies just handing your money away, the tax money you're giving, handing it to people who aren't even supposed to be here.
The invasion, the deficit,
the crime that has come,
chaos worldwide.
Yeah, it's been a perfect storm to where we had 4 years of them pretty much being able to do whatever they want, and it opened a lot of people's eyes to what they really want to do.
And I think it was media like yours, Pastor, and independent media that.
Well, exposed. We are now. This is why those on the left, they referred to themselves all those years as mainstream, now are going to legacy. They've changed it because they are no longer the mainstream. We have, AM talk radio now. More people get their news from AM talk radio by about 2% more than from the televisions, from ABC, NBC, CBS now. So, and the reason for that is that a lot of people like to listen to the radio all day long while they're working or while they're driving, especially people in cars driving and taxi drivers and all. They listen to the radio.
And the thing is with talk radio is you can't fake it. It's gotta be genuine or people sniff it out. If you go on the radio and you try to, and you'll get this with a lot of like those morning shows, you know, to where they, here's the issue. You take this side and I'll take that side, you know, and the average person sniffs that out and they don't get the ratings. That's why when the Democrats tried their own, what was it called? Air America years ago, they tried their own, left wing radio. You had your liberal radio. You have the conservative. You had Rush Limbaugh and all the conservative talk. And so they tried it as well, and it flopped.
It really flopped.
They couldn't tell the truth about anything. They couldn't be genuine.
When was this?
Oh, this was going on.
What was this?
I would say
early 2000s, maybe.
Yeah,
it was at least 20 years ago. What was his name? Al Franken, I think, was one of them. That was on there?
Yeah, Al Franken ended up being that senator from Minnesota.
Minnesota, I believe.
And he got caught fondling. He was fondling different women, a number of them. He ended up getting fired and thrown out, yeah. But he wasn't the smartest guy there. But, you know,
I know that. I've heard that name, Al Franken. So he was a senator?
He was a quote-unquote comedian as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was actually his alibi for fondling those women. Okay, groping—that's the word I was looking for. Groping. He groped several women, and finally they all got upset at one time, and all came out. And yeah, he groped me too, and we've told him. But he said where's your sense of humor? You know,
yeah, it was just a joke.
It was just a joke, and I remember that. And you know what the.
Wasn't he a member of Congress lately, like within the last 10 years?
No, I don't think he's been.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been.
Yeah.
It's probably been a good 15 years. I don't know. I'm going to look that up.
I wouldn't know. Anyhow. But now, one of the things that Biden did was, I believe it or not, I kind of believe Zuckerberg when he said that, the CIA and the FBI, they threatened him, intimidated him, told him, here's what you're going to do. And it came directly from Joe Obama Biden. I kind of believe him that they said, look, you're gonna censor those on the right. You're going to censor. And he did that.
Okay? 2018, Al Franken was his last year in office as a senator.
Yeah, so that was relatively recently. Yeah.
From 2009.
He was a senator or congressman?
He was a senator, and a U.S. United States senator from Minnesota from 2009 to 2018.
Okay. Yeah. And he fondled. He was a fondler.
Gropers. We call it gropers now, yeah. So anyhow, I'm going back to the... To the speech, Biden had a huge program to censor us, and remember Bloomberg actually bought stations up and so that we were on just to get us off the stations. Okay, now
wasn't it Soros?
No, Soros just bought. Soros just went into there was a deal. Salem was going to buy like 16 new stations. And Spanish-speaking stations, I believe. And in fact, they had it all. They had a deal set and cut. And when it came time for the signing, just before they signed the contract, Soros sent his people in with an additional $20 million more. And I'll bid him. And so now Soros is buying all these stations, and he's going to try to turn them into left-wing communist stations. I think now the Communist Party, the Democrats haven't gone away, and I think that they're going to that they're going to try. They're going to come out and try to undo Trump and using these radio stations to influence people. Propaganda. This is communist propaganda. But the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take command.
Take America back right now. We'll go out to New York, and out in New York we have Cliff. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, I want to go to Chronicles chapter 15, Second Chronicles 15, and ask a question about that. But briefly, I was listening to one episode of the Sergeant Reports podcast this couple of days ago, and a woman in that they had a guest that was a woman in California. I believe it was Carmel. In 2020, they roped off the beach, might have been July 4th, She protested. She got, just for protesting that she couldn't sit on the beach. They, with COVID, they just suddenly did this. And they handcuffed her for 3 hours. She's 5'3" and blonde. The officers, three of them, took her, threw her against the wall in the police station. And, you know, it's very disturbing if you listen to this. She acted as her own lawyer and won her case. But this is like a microcosm of what these so-called little people did to the citizenry in this country. So I'd recommend that episode. And I heard on a sermon a reference to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. But it seems like that whole chapter is pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever noted it before.
Be you strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.
Yeah.
That's kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah.
The main verse there, and that is, would be in verse 9, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw the Lord, his God was with him. Even though the 10 tribes separated themselves from Judah and Jerusalem, and eventually went into Assyrian exile, never to return. This, in other passages, in this passage here, shows that many of those the most spiritually minded people among all the tribes did return to continue in the kingdom of David, of the Davidic promise.
How would you say an individual person in this day and age? How would you apply it to? Would you apply that more to a group of people or maybe just an individual?
Both. That would apply to both, yeah. Be you strong, therefore, and let your hands be weak. And let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. This is what we preach all the time. It goes right along with James 1:22, you know. Be you doer of the word, and also with Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1, okay, that, you know, to use your body to glorify God, and let him do it, let it be strong.
Physical and mentally strong, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. On the electric cars, you know, those batteries, I think, are more than 10 grand. If you got to get them replaced.
So, I know, and they're heavy, too. Electric car is about twice the weight of a gas-powered car.
Yeah, so even, you know, like they used to, the discrepancy in a collision could be dangerous, too, between two vehicles if one is twice the weight. You know, that's also like a risk for everybody else if the vehicles are lighter. You know, when they had a lot of Volkswagens and the heavier vehicles, you know, that was, you know, could be very bad if you're in a light car. Another thing is if you're, say, someone that's just looking for a secondhand car, it's going to be too expensive. You know.
Well, and again, like I said, right now they're not very practical at all. They're not, because look. I mean, even the best of you of those, I think the most you can go with one of those is like 400 miles before you have to charge it. And so, like right now today, I could jump in my Suburban out there, and I could fill that tank up, and I can drive all the way into, you know, I could drive probably 600-800 miles in that tank. And it takes me 10 minutes to fill the tank up again. With those electric cars, once you've traveled your 400 miles, it's going to take you a while. First you got to find a charging station, and then it takes you a while. Those things don't charge real quick. They
Kenny, you know how long it takes to charge a battery?
No, I have absolutely no idea.
They've got one of those stations, Pastor, right there on Harvard and 271.
Well, I know that, but...
No, I know your point, yeah.
There's not many of them. You know, believe me, you could travel for hundreds of miles without coming across one, okay?
Yeah.
And so, and then you got to know where they're at before you go, too, okay?
Otherwise, you could get essentially stranded, which is a lot of people don't handle that too well.
And I saw, what was it, that they had some, that they had put in, and somebody was there, and they were taking pictures, and they had signs up there out of order. So they went all the way there to these charging stations, and they weren't working. So
another thing is, how do they perform once the temperature dips? And the temperature can go down 30 degrees in like a matter of hours, too, in places like Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right. Batteries, when it gets real cold like that, they drain quickly. You can't leave your lights on or anything like that in that really cold weather. Batteries drain pretty fast.
Well, there's got to be some kind of positive to them, because you see not a ton, but quite a few Teslas.
I think it's more like
what are they? They're good for...
Kenny said it's more like a status symbol.
Yeah, I think that's more what it is, because a lot of people, and especially before Elon kind of threw his hat in the ring to support Trump, a lot of it was kind of more of a status symbol for a lot of the liberal elites, you know, like, oh, look, I've got one of these because I'm going green, you know, type things, and I've got the money to spend on it, and you should too, you know, and it's an investment into our future type thing. And now one issue that I do see with those, though, say you are in weather like we have right now and you break down on the side of the road, even if you've got battery power and it just breaks down, you're going to freeze, because how long do you think that battery's going to last when you try to keep the heater on?
Yeah, I know. It goes fast. All right, very good.
Okay, happy day. Okay.
Hey, listen, are you going to be Joe tonight in a few minutes?
I don't know yet, you know. It's like, what do they call those, after dark people?
Yeah.
Like vampires.
Yeah.
Jekyll and Hyde, Cliff and Joe.
Yeah. Yep. You asked some good questions. I like listening to you when I'm on my way home from the radio station.
Well, I get, you know, they give their schedule in advance, and sometimes I'll get the schedule. They give their schedule for the week, and while I'm jogging, I'll think of a question in advance. So I'm kind of cheating a little bit with that. You know?
All right, very good. Well, you have a good one out there. What's the weather like in New York?
It snowed last night, and we're getting a freeze where, you know, it's in the teens. So we're getting some of that drop down.
It's colder than that here, I can tell you.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be careful. You know, it's if you're not used to it, too.
Pastor Hal
really
just called.
Used to it either, if quickly. You know, it's not something, you know, you have to really. But you can get gloves on Amazon that are like $30 that are really good. I got two pairs anticipating this. So.
Aaron bought me a good pair of gloves. Yeah. Two pairs.
Carhartt's.
Yeah.
That's a good company.
Yeah. All righty. Okay, well, thanks.
Okay.
We have Pastor Hal in the air.
No, hey, no, he didn't. He didn't stay on. He just called real quick to let us know that he did a little bit of research, and depending on the size of the battery, it can take up to a half hour to 12 hours to fully charge.
Well, those big cars, they have big batteries.
Yeah, imagine going on a road trip with an electric car, and then every 400 miles. You've got to wait half a day to recharge your car.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what you do, you try to time it to where come nighttime, when you pull into a motel or something, you plug it in and let it run overnight.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do, anytime you make plans for any length of time, there's always a lot of variables, and things change. wrenches get thrown into it. Like, you're planning on, say you're planning on this charging station being there, and they're out of order. You know, like, then what do you do? The next charging station's not for another 40 miles away, and you've only got 10 miles left on your battery.
Well, Trump's ending the mandate on those electric cars, so...
Drill, baby, drill.
I got a feeling that, you know, and it looks like Elon Musk is going from cars to rocket ships.
Yeah, he's doing it all.
Yeah.
Free speech, rockets, cars, electric cars, whatever. He's doing it all.
Well, a lot of our potential wealth is in oil, too, so we want to promote the carbon-based fuels.
Well, first of all, you know, when they
cleanly,
talked about
of course.
That.
What is it, like 30 to 40 trillion is that reserve in Alaska? Yeah, it's $30 to $40 trillion worth of oil and natural gas.
And then whatever might be under Greenland.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
Greenland's a whole nother.
And just whatever, source. Just the continental United States, there's still plenty of oil underneath us. It's not, I mean, it's a literal gold mine that we're
even
sitting
more
on.
Than that is natural gas.
Yes.
We're sitting on a ton of wealth.
You know, a lot of these companies have switched their trucks over to natural gas, okay? It's because it's cheaper. But anyhow, very good. You know, speaking of $1 trillion, that's what we spend it with the World Health Organization.
We're no longer in it anymore.
Nope.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Trump pulled us out today, didn't he?
He did.
And the thing of it
Tedros,
is...
Tedros, that communist.
Yeah, well, you know what they were charging us? Okay, we were paying $500 million a year in there, in the U.N. $500 million a year. And do you know what China was paying?
They were probably paying China.
$39 million a year.
So yeah, so that sounds like the Panama Canal type.
Yeah, well, it's whenever you get Democrats in there, it's always, you know. See, Democrats are very generous with other people's money, not with their own, though.
No. Another thing that Trump mentioned today that I wanted to bring up was reinstating service members who were expelled from our military.
For not taking
the COVID shot. You want to hear a clip of that?
Yeah, very quickly. Dwayne says, because we don't have much time.
Yeah, no, it's like 20 seconds.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
This week I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay.
Full back pay, too.
Absolutely, that would be great. Now, let me ask you guys a question, because we're at that time. Why is it important? Why is it the most important thing to anyone who's alive right now? What is the most important thing to them?
Salvation.
Absolutely, because everyone that's alive is going to die someday, right?
Yeah, they're going to need it, yeah.
And so once they die, what happens then?
Well, you either go to heaven or hell.
That's
right.
You'll be judged.
There's no in between. The Bible. Now, we have that in God's Word, the Bible. Why can we trust this King James Bible right here? Why can we trust this Word of God?
Because it was written by the Holy Spirit through God's chosen men. It's the Word of God.
That's true.
The Spirit of God wrote it.
Well, why do we know it's the Word of God?
Because God cannot lie, nor does he change.
Well, we know that God cannot lie, but we know this.
That it hasn't been added to or taken away from.
Is there any better explanation ever of where things came from, where things are, and where things are going? So
it's flawless.
Right. So the accuracy of over 1,800 prophecies, mm-hmm. The accuracy, some made as much as 4,000 years in advance, have come to pass exactly when, exactly where. Now, what are the mathematical odds of that?
It's impossible.
With all the technology we have today, can we even become close to even fulfilling, say, three of those?
No.
No, not even close to it. So, folks, here, the bottom line is this. The most important thing, you know, Everything we've talked about tonight's going to pass someday, okay? Everyone that's alive right now someday won't be alive. Okay? Here, all of you out there, like we just said, the time will come, the time will come when you're gonna die. Now, again, you're going to end up in heaven or hell. We know that because the greatest source of truth to ever existence tells us that. So you have an option. God, in his mercy, God being a merciful God, gave you a way out, a get-out-of-hell card free. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He did for you what you can never do for yourself. He took your place upon a cross. He took your punishment for the sins. And he did that for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Now, the bottom line is this. He did all the heavy lifting. What you need to do first and think about, and first you need to stop and think about the pain that you caused him. Here, God became a man and hung on a cross for you. That's what he did for you. Now, your question is, what can you do for him? If you had any idea of the pain you caused him to suffer, if you knew that, and he tells you that there, then if you would profess your sorrow for having caused him that pain, if you would do that, pray to the Father, as Jesus says, and then if you were to do like he says, call upon his name, on the name of the Lord, and put him first. He has to be first. He says, before mother, father, brother, sister, before yourself, you have to put the Lord. Remember, he put you before him, okay, when he took your place upon that cross. If you would do that, then what will happen is you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you would be on the road to eternal life. Now, see, there's people like George Soros and others that have billions of dollars, and they think that somehow they can buy that, but they can't. It can't happen, okay? But you can achieve that if you're smart enough. If you're smart enough to avoid that burning lake of fire, okay? And so, what do? You pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness of sins. You ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, okay? Without any reservation, you got to do it. You got to go all in. And again, like I said, when you do that, you will become a new creature. Now, and your life will change. With some, it changes much more quickly than others, but it'll change. And you will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with you. And again, you will be on the road to eternal life. So now the question is, what are your options? You either repent of your sin, call upon the name of the Lord, or you refuse to repent of your sin, not call upon the name of the Lord, and end up in torment for eternity. That's right. It's a horrible, horrible torment. And it's for eternity. Now, you have God's word on that. See, there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. You will. There's absolutely no chance, no chance at all that you won't. So go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it, and do it. Now, we're at that time where we get to where we say, thanks for being here with us tonight, all of you folks out there. Thanks for your support. And it was a good day today. And we say, good night.
Good night.
We say, God bless you.
God bless.
And then we say, always. Let's get her done.
Keep fighting the fight.
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 Fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.